Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, pregnancy-focused chiropractor, Dr. Elliot Berlin. My guest today was super pregnant. Last time we talked to her, she was going to have her first baby at age 45 and had the energy of two nuclear submarines. And what a great interview and what a great person. Rachel Giroir, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be back. I now have a new family member I can brag about.
I know. First of all, it's crazy how pregnancy didn't slow you down at all. You almost seem to have more energy. And then, you know, now that you have a kid, and most of us, we have a kid and we're like tired and sleepy and low energy. I don't know. What is your secret?
Gratitude and happiness every day. But
what is happiness? Okay. Both of those sound lovely.
I wish them for everyone. The good news is we can all make them for ourselves. Gratitude and happiness are things we can find every morning and then make sure we keep in our days. We don't have to go seek it elsewhere, which is the best thing. And money can't buy it.
It's true. Although Daniel Tosh once said, money can't buy happiness, but money can buy a wave runner. And have you ever seen anybody on a wave runner look unhappy?
Fair point.
Thank you, Daniel Tosh. Okay. So moving forward, last time I spoke to you, you were at the end of the pregnancy. You were up in the air about the birth plan. I think plan A, if I remember correctly, was going to be the vaginal birth, but very flexible as to what was needed and what was recommended. And at the end, your doctor recommended a cesarean birth.
That's right, which took all the pressure and stress off of me because the expert got to deal with all the birth things. And I got to lay back on a beautiful morning. It was a Saturday. I got to smell the smell of lemon essence around my face. And the experts brought this baby right out of me into the world. And I didn't have to do anything but relax and enjoy.
That's the most lofty description of a cesarean birth I've ever heard, but I'm glad that was your experience. First of all, what was the source of the lemon essence?
Well, I said, as I was laying there, does anyone smell something burning? Now I'm wondering what that was. But the wonderful anesthesiologist said, yes, I do, and I can fix that for you. Do you like lemon? And I said, I like lemon more than the smell of something burning. And then he spritzed some on some gauze and held it to my nose. And there you go.
How peaceful. I mean, you sell it so well that I want to try.
I think we can't decide what happens in our life, but we can decide how we react to it. And so I decided to lean into that an expert was going to be handling every aspect of this. And I got to lay on my back, put my feet up, and I just surrendered to that and made it something beautiful.
I mean, I have a harder time when my wife makes me get a pedicure. I'm such a bad customer compared to you. So, okay, walk us through it. So the day of, what do you do in the morning going in?
We had to be at the hospital, I think at 4:45 a.m. because, hot tip, if you have a scheduled cesarean section, they may bump your time for the emergency C-sections, which makes total sense. So if you happen to decide to be scheduled at 2 p.m., you could be there till 8 o'clock starving because you don't get to eat that day. So I took the first appointment of the day so that I wouldn't be starving. So we had to be there at 4:45 a.m. So I don't remember much except arriving and getting on that table.
First of all, that is a hot tip. And I like how you use the word bump. They could bump.
There you go.
Also, it's interesting. I mean, yeah. You know, you're not supposed to eat before any kind of surgery, C-section included. But oddly, there's one doctor who I know around here who tells his patients, you either need to not eat or at least tell them that you didn't eat. Okay. I don't know if that's a hot tip. Talk to your medical provider. Okay, here we go. Then you get in there at 4:45 in the morning. What's the process like? Are you doing all the registration papers like you're...
Registration in advance. We did it months in advance. Ugh. So that you don't have to have any headaches. I would misspell my name at 4:45 a.m. So I walked in and they said, first up, you're going to get an IV. And I said, great, I've done that before. Here's the one thing I'm going to say all day that I've done before.
So you don't have an issue with needles, you're comfortable with them?
Oh, I have a terrible issue with needles, but so does everybody. Just don't look and tell yourself that something amazing is going on the other side of the room, but you can't see it or it won't come true. And the amazing thing is step one of having a baby. So step one is happening.
That's what I do too. Like if I smell that burnt smell, I'm thinking s'mores.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if I want the lemon essence.
There you go.
All right, so you get the IV, and now are they just putting fluid in there?
Yeah, a little bit of fluid and a little bit of, I think, some antibiotics. And then next up came the bit I was most terrified about. Shockingly, I wasn't most terrified of it being cut open because I knew I'd be nice and numb for that. I was terrified of the epidural or the spinal.
Oh, interesting. That's also a needle, a big one.
As a big needle. And I've had friends who caution me, that's scary and painful. And if they go 1 millimeter in the wrong direction, all sorts of hell opens. So that's what I was scared of.
Oh, that's great friends.
Right, exactly.
Before you go on an airplane. And if one rivet comes out. Okay. So are you sitting for that procedure?
So they walk you actually into the operating room. And you lean over, hunch over your own belly, like you're the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And then they tell you, okay, this isn't going to hurt. And I said, yes, it is. I already know. I'm prepared. I'm prepared for this to kill. It's the only part that's going to hurt because after this, I won't feel anything.
Hot lava.
Exactly. But the good news is they said to me, we've made you a special cocktail. And it has several different drugs in it that will not make you feel pain, but somewhere off in 4 hours, somewhere off in 8 hours, somewhere off in 12 hours, some in 18 hours. So if you get this, your life's going to be great for the next 2 to 3 days. And so they said, just breathe and relax into it. And I did. And the shocking part is I felt nothing.
Interesting. Okay. So as a doula, I've watched people who had a fear of the epidural, fear of needles, but fear of the epidural in general. In particular, I should say. And what I noticed is that before they put that big needle in, which is kind of a wide diameter, it looks like a hole puncher. Okay, maybe I'm exaggerating. But
I'm glad you're telling me this now and not before. Yeah, I wouldn't have gone to the hospital that day.
I'm exaggerating. Hole puncher seemed like a funny thing to say. Okay. So before they put in the bigger needle that goes deeper into your body, they put in a tiny little needle that is a numbing agent. Mm-hmm. And they just put it beneath the surface, they put it in, and you have a little bit of numbness. You can't feel anything. And then I've watched this several times. They go a little deeper, and you don't feel it because you're in the border of where that numbing agent is, and they squirt a little bit more in there. And they keep doing that until the whole path from the surface of your back until however deep it needs to go is totally numb, so that when they put in that bigger needle, you don't feel anything, or you feel almost nothing. And that pleasant surprise of how not a big deal it is really overwhelms people in a positive way.
It was euphoria. I was terrified. I can't imagine anything else I've been so afraid of than that epidural. When I felt nothing, I just started giggling uncontrollably. And I was like, cut through 7 layers of me. This is going to be a breeze.
7 layers. I feel like there's something mystical about that. So then when you said you were hunched over and they put it in you, are you standing or sitting?
You're sitting with your, well, I'm very small, so I was sitting with my legs dangling off the side of the table that I would eventually lie down on, hunched over in a ball. And I actually asked my doctor to come over so I could put my arms right over her shoulders and kind of hunch and hold her. And I think that was a little silly now that it didn't hurt, but going in, it made me feel really comforted. So don't be afraid to ask your doctors for anything you need, how silly it sounds. They want you to have a great experience just like you do.
Totally. And I don't really think silly at all. And, you know, yours was surprisingly not bad at all. But even on an emotional level, up until that moment, it was probably helpful to have that comfort from your doctor.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So it goes in, you go numb.
Yep.
You feel the numbness moving through your legs.
Oh, yes. And the worst part is I had an itch. But I would take my hand and scratch the itch on my thigh, and I couldn't feel that relief of the scratch. It's the worst feeling ever. Just like, yeah, I have an itch, and it's going to be there for hours.
Oh, no. That's so weird. You could feel the itch, but not the scratch?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that does sound like a mind.
Spoiler alert, the baby came out, and for hours later, I just kept saying, that itch is still there. It was not the thing you're meant to say in welcoming your baby and focus on for the next few hours.
And the baby's name is Itchy.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so you're going numb, but you feel nothing but the itch. And then Are they talking to you when they start doing things?
Yes, I was shocked to find out that you're not loopy. Kind of disappointed, to be honest. Like dental surgery, you get to be a little loopy. Your doctor's saying things, you kind of see them like a floating head over top of you. I was fully cognizant. So that's a disappointment. Sorry. But yeah, they said, do you want to know and have us give you a play-by-play? And I said, not necessary, but I imagine I want to see the baby when he comes out. So that's why I didn't know what the burning smell was, because I opted not to have a play-by-play.
I see. A couple of other questions. Who's around you?
So we had a doctor, an anesthesiologist, and a second doctor. I knew both doctors. And then my husband was dressed up looking like a doctor, but definitely not a doctor.
Okay. And then do you have that big drape that is in front of you, like between your face and your belly?
They had a two-layer drape. So one is a see-through layer, and then one is a blackout curtain, essentially.
Yeah.
And so they keep the blackout curtain there until you hear the cry, the baby's out, and then they draw it back and present the baby through the see-through curtain.
Oh, wow, a show.
Mm-hmm.
And are there sounds in there? Or are you listening to something in particular?
You know, they asked me if I wanted a particular song, and I said, whatever's going to make you do your best work. And so I don't even remember what the song was, but they did their best work.
Wow, you are an interesting character. Thoughtful, considerate, and cheerful, and happy, and full of gratitude. And I'm going to let that marinate for a minute and take a little break. And when we come back, I want to find out how the rest of that birth went. We'll be right back. I have an incredible offer for you from my friends at Needed. An astounding 95% of women aren't meeting their omega-3 needs. Omega-3 fatty acids, especially DHA and EPA, are crucial for both mother and baby. They support brain and eye health, maternal mood, immunity, and much more. But it can be hard to get enough omega-3 from diet alone, especially during pregnancy when many people are averse to eating fish. And if you've ever taken a fish oil pill, you know just how unpleasant that can be. That's why I'm excited to share that my friends at Needed have revolutionized the omega-3 supplement with two different options designed specifically for mamas. An omega-3 powder that blends into smoothies and a pill option that tastes like fresh citrusy bergamot. Both are sustainably sourced from vegan algae, not fish. Both are great options for nausea and sensitive prone mamas. Needed's omega-3 powder is delivered in liposomes, nature's very cool way of protecting and delivering omega-3, just like in breast milk. Needed's omega-3 is clinically proven to be 5 times better absorbed than fish oil pills. The powder is mild tasting and it pairs great with Needed's prenatal multi powder and collagen protein powder in a daily smoothie. If powder isn't your thing, Needed's got you covered with those omega-3 plus capsules, which have a pleasant citrus flavor. Needed is sharing an awesome pre-order discount just for my listeners. Buy two, get one free on either omega-3 option, powder or capsules. You can stock up on either one or try them both. With this exclusive discount, use code 3BERLIN, the number 3BERLIN at thisisneeded.com. Put 3 omega-3s in your cart. Use the code number 3BERLIN at thisisneeded.com. Buy two, get one free.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome back to the Informed Pregnancy Podcast. We're talking to Rachel Jarrell. Okay, so you're listening to whatever comforts your three doctors, your anesthesiologist and two OBGYNs, and your husband dressed up to look like a doctor. And do you remember what it was, though?
No, no idea.
Okay.
Oh, but you know why I don't remember? What? There was this magical thing I was in. I was a little bit cold. So everyone should say they're cold on an operating table, because they wrapped me in this amazing Stay Fluft marshmallow suit that's like a hospital gown, but they have hair dryers blowing into it and it puffs up all around you and makes you warm and feeling like you're in this amazing like hug of hot, delicious air. And so I just kept hearing the fan of these little like hair dryers blowing warm air all over this puffy suit I was in.
First of all, it's amazing because I assume after the baby comes out, you want to take pictures and now your hair's done.
There you go.
But also, I've never seen that before. Is that something they rigged up or is that like a real official?
No, it's a real official thing. It looks like a hospital gown, but with elastic at the wrists so that the air stays in. And then there's little places where they hook on the blowers to the suit. And then you just get hot and toasty. But you do hear this kind of white noise right around your face and your necks as it's keeping you warm.
Well, that's lovely. And did you feel anything? I mean, they're not telling you by your choice what's happening, but did you feel anything?
I felt nothing before they brought him out.
Nothing? Afterwards, you didn't feel any of the seven layers or pulling, tugging?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing. But after they brought him out, I was able to feel a little bit of tightness and tugging like I was being stitched.
Oh, okay. But not like needle poking.
No, no. Just a little bit of tugging.
Like someone was,
you know, it was like if when your mom's lacing up your shoes when you're a kid and you feel your shoe getting tighter and tighter and tighter and a little bit of tightening and tugging on your poor little foot. That's what it feels like.
Ah, nostalgia.
Yeah.
As you became a mom.
Exactly.
Okay. When they present the baby, they open up the curtain, they present the baby. Are you able to do like contact?
No, up against this like plastic sheet and you see him in his naked glory for a second and a photo is snapped and then he gets whisked away to a little weigh station and heat lamp to hold hands with my husband.
Oh, sweet. In view where you could see them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Right over to the side of me.
And that's when you're getting your laces up?
Exactly.
Okay. What about your first contact? When did that happen?
So then they bring him over and held him right next to me, kind of cheek to cheek.
Oh, well, now I want to know all the feels. You weren't loopy.
No.
So you're pretty present and conscious. What are the feels when you see your baby for the first time through the drape or when you feel your baby for the first time?
I couldn't believe how huge he was. And instantly, I felt like I was so rude. Because the night before I was having dinner with all my family around the table and he's clearly fully baked and like huge. And I just let him sit inside my belly and miss out on everything. I felt like it was just inconsiderate that I didn't bring him out earlier to play.
Wait a second, but I have a feeling it's really lovely inside.
Maybe, but he didn't look like a frail little bird. He looked like, you know, he was a real spring chicken. And then I think he might have just been wondering why I just kept him in there upside down for so long.
Oh, upside down too. Wow, you really get into what it must be like for them. But I have a different view. I sort of feel like it's the greatest hotel there ever was. And whoever calls and says, hi, can I check out early from this hotel? Nobody. Everybody wants to stay as long as they can. I'm like, what about 2 o'clock? 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, four? They're like, sir, at 4 o'clock, you'll have to pay half a day rate. I'm like, okay, 3 o'clock works. You know, that's how it works. So I think the baby, you know, yes, came out healthy and strong and big because of all the magic that happens in that little hotel room.
I was also shocked because I think they come out a little swollen. So his cheeks were so big, there was barely a face. It was just like Godfather, these huge, like, huge cheeks that everyone just had to come up and kiss, basically. And I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but also he had a huge set of testicles, too. That was unbelievable. They are not that huge anymore.
Really? I don't know
which were bigger, the cheeks or the testicles.
Initial thoughts of a new mom.
I mean, I don't see a lot in my life, so it was kind of shocking.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I remember one time being at a birth, and it was a breech birth, and the baby came out butt first. But before the bum came out, the testicles came out, and I'd never seen that before either. And the doctor kind of got a key. He's like, hey, you want to reach down and feel your baby? And she's like, what is that? You know, like, okay. So all new things to observe and take in. And then after you left there, so then you go to like a PACU? Yeah, like a
post-recovery room, yeah.
And what was it like, the sensations coming back?
I was on a lot of IV meds, which made the sensations come back, I think, very easily, very gradually, very gracefully. And I was just so enthralled with looking at this baby in my arms. I think I let my arms fall asleep, and my arms were more tingly than my legs, because you just hold this, you know, 8-pound amazing human. But I haven't held 8 pounds for 2 hours straight in a very long time. I have very weak little arms.
Oops, you did for a long time, but it was not with your arms.
True.
New posture. And then you're in the hospital for a few days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did, I think, 2 nights.
And how was the rest of that hospital stay?
It was pretty easy on me because I laid flat on my back and relaxed. I didn't try to get up and do a whole lot. And nurses came in and took care of him. And my husband did everything under the sun. My brother and sister came and took care of this baby. And the only thing I had to do was smile, because the people I love most were holding the other person I love most in their arms. But at some point, one of the nurses in the middle of the night came in and said, "Is everything okay in here?" And she meant, like, "Do you need saltines? Do you need a cup of water?" You know, just kind of doing the rounds. My poor husband was up doing everything. And he said, no, nothing's all right. Like, nothing's okay. And she was like, "It gets better. It's okay. You want a snack?" Like, so I think that I would say that there's something really angelic and amazing about the partners of folks who get C-sections, because they are going in and having to be varsity players immediately. They don't get, you know, any support or any assists from the cesarean patient. So it's really a beautiful thing to watch. But also, yeah, they win the awards.
Everybody does their part. Coming home, what was homecoming like?
Coming home, we came home to a house that had 9 family members and a dog staying with us.
Ooh.
Because this was the first grandchild on one side of the family and the first boy grandchild on the other side. So coming home was like going on a cruise ship, and I was the cruise director.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of work, cruise director.
Yeah, I think that I would recommend other folks who have tons of family flying in to maybe invite them to stay at a nearby hotel. That would be really nice.
It's a lot. But this means you saw your parents, you know, meet their first grandchild.
Oh, my God. It was all so beautiful. Every single day, I wouldn't have dreamt how gorgeous it would be to look in the eyes of people holding their grandchild in their arms.
Yeah. I'm getting a little emotional here. Does your energy come from them? Do they have similar, like, happiness and gratitude and positive energy?
In a lot of ways, I'd say yes.
You are a good diplomat over there at Nexus. But yeah, great. And what about feeding? How's feeding going?
Well, I'm a regular dairy. I'm just really blessed. Apparently, I was born to make milk. So I made so much milk in the beginning that I would have to put ice packs on my boobs, which was just to try to tell them, slow down. But I was making so much milk, I was sure ice packs were just going to make me make ice cream. Like, it was not coming. Now we've toned it down a little bit. Now I'm making enough for, you know, 1 small army, not 10.
Oh, good. Armies need a lot of milk.
Apparently.
Yeah. I mean, was the problem that you were uncomfortable? Or were you, like, drowning the little guy? Or
a little bit of both. He would choke a little because he was like, "Whoa, I didn't ask for a fire hose worth of milk in the morning in particular." And then, yeah, sometimes I'd wake up in the night and I think I had, like, you know, torpedoes attached to me, not soft, lovely boobs that I was used to. So we needed to regulate a little bit.
What about the schedule? Because, again, like, usually people are pretty worn down from being up at night feeding during the day, just constantly taking care of another person with a lot of new responsibilities.
I'm so blessed to be surrounded by friends and family, and they bring you snacks, they bring you tea. Breastfeeding in the middle of the night can be this super secret time that you stay up and whisper stories with each other, like you're, you know, girls at summer camp sharing secrets and drinking tea and having, you know, lactation cookies. So it all just feels very, like, mischievous middle of the night stuff that is kind of sweet.
Before you mentioned saltines and lactation cookies, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm getting hungry. Let's take a little break. When we come back, we'll find out how the rest of new motherhood is going for you. Welcome back. We're talking to Rachel Jarrell. I mean, I said in the first episode with you before you had the baby, I was so eager and excited to have you on here because you have so much energy. You're 45, which is super young in life, but on the older side for having a baby. And women are just all the time, I think, you get put into your head like, oh, I'm advanced maternal age. This is a geriatric pregnancy. Like, I'm just walking into a whole bunch of problems. I'm high risk. You know, this is going to take me down. And here you come along and just so much energy during your pregnancy. You felt great for most of your pregnancy. You had the cesarean birth. You were not attached to a particular birth plan. You wanted to do what was best for your baby. And at the end, that was the choice. And you had a great cesarean experience, it sounds like. And then postpartum, which also, you know, that's a tough gig for a lot of people. And it just sounds like you cruised right through it. And I'm inspired by pretty much everyone who grows a kid and has a kid and raises a kid, but extra inspired by you.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, it's not a walk in the park, but every day is an adventure that's so worth it that you just see everything through those rose-colored glasses of, I'm a mom, who would have thunk it?
Yeah. I mean, now it's a few months out already. How's the progression over the few months? What's it like, motherhood and the different stages of infanthood?
Every week is more delicious than the week before. And I really mean it. I think it was about week 3 or maybe week 4 that he started making eye contact. And I thought, oh my God, you're a person, not just a little wobbly thing that I get to feed. you have a soul. I can look into your eyes. That was amazing. The first smile at about 6 weeks, I said, and you're a person who can be happy, my favorite thing.
One of two.
Yeah, exactly. We're the same. And then it just gets better and better. Now he's giggling, starting at about 13 weeks. Giggles are all the time and big, wide open mouth grins. And we do our gratitudes together, either in the morning or at night. And I tell him every day, I'm grateful for how happy you are, and I'm grateful for your smiles. And then he smiles as if I'm pushing a button, and he knows just what to do.
Yeah.
We sing our gratitude songs. So I can't even imagine what next week brings. It's really, every week is better than the last.
I love that. And I remember it like it was not that long ago. My kids are all teenagers now, but those stages and the smiles and the giggles and the coos, I could just listen and look forever. But also, as you're saying that, what really comes back into my mind is when we had our second baby and then our very sweet toddler, 2-year-old, was great with her for a day or so and then just turned into a little devil and wanted to, you know, offer, get her out of the house. And it wasn't until the newborn started to do those things, to lock eyes, track, laugh, interact, that he kind of did another full turnaround and just fell in love with her. And still today, you know, they're 19 and 17 and they have a great relationship. But that was the moment where it changed back, where he like was not only okay with her living with us, but really started to want to spend a lot of time with her and entertain her and teach her everything he knew. So
I think it's different for everyone. My husband fell in love with the baby's second one and has loved him exactly the same ever since. I think until we could really lock eyes, me and my sweet son, I just saw him in the beginning as just an extension of me. It's like another appendage. Like I had a third leg that was really lovely and was always around on my lap. Like my other legs were crossed and then there was this baby leg. But he didn't really have his own sense of self to me that I could connect with until we got the eye contact down. So that was a little bit of a slower progression.
Did you start back at work yet?
I did.
How was the juggle?
It's heaven.
Tell me more about that.
It's absolute heaven. You know, being kind of an overachiever and a perfectionist, it was hard realizing that every day I'm going to try something new with my baby to get them to feed, to get them to sleep, to get him to want to play, all the things. And some things work and some things fail abysmally. And, you know, by 7 o'clock at night, I've tried 4 different things to get him to go to sleep, 4 different ways to try to get him to nurse 1 minute longer. So it's a lot of micro failures and A/B testing. That's what early parenthood is, right? But now we have a nanny and I'm back at work in the house. So I get to nurse him in the morning and spend a little hour together. And then I get on some calls and do some work and I'm inspired by my team. I'm inspired by who I'm talking to. I'm hopefully making some helpful suggestions to them at work. Then I dip back in with my son, feed him at 10, get some eye contact and some giggles, go back and do another meeting. And by the time, 5 o'clock rolls around and I get to spend, really consolidated time with him and I put him to bed, I just feel like now I have two report cards that I get to grade myself on at the end of the day, my mom report card and my work report card. And because I'm only spending delicious, intentional time at each, it's like I get to be winning in two games instead of just one now.
Wow. That's such a great outlook. I'm glad that you're able to do it from home, that you're able to work from home, because it's somewhat of a game changer versus having to not be around your baby all the time.
Huge. But there were a few days already where I only got to see him that morning before work and then the evening after. And the trick is to learn to just be hyper present in the moment you're in, not to have work rolling in your head when you're staring in your baby's eyes, and not to be staring at pictures of your babies and missing him when you're talking to someone for work. And if you can be hyper present in either one, you're winning, and winning is the best feeling.
That's amazing. I think Harvey Karp, wrote in Happiest Toddler on the Block, this idea called feeding the meter. And you just kind of switched the perspective on that for me. He was saying it in the sense of, if you have a child at home and you're trying to do childcare, taking care of your child, and at the same time do something else, your child, because you're not fully present, is not going to be satisfied with that time that you've spent with them. So he kind of uses this analogy of feeding the meter. Sit down and do whatever you're going to do with your child fully present. It's going to give them the satisfaction that they need from the interactions that they have with you. And then you could go do something else, whether it's something for yourself or something for work, and your baby's satisfied because you fed the meter. And then in a little while, they're going to need you to feed the meter again. But if you try to do those same two things at the same time, you don't do well on either one. So I think a lot of people come home and they're like, oh, damn, the report cards, I failed at both. I wasn't good at either one. But the idea of being hyper-present with whatever you're doing while you're doing it, it's not just for the baby, it's also for yourself. Like, being able to have that full presence with your baby gives you the satisfaction you want from your interaction with the baby. And then being able to be fully present at work gives you that kind of satisfaction from work or productivity at work. That's really smart. And if I could turn back time, I would learn from that myself, what you just brought up and how it clicked with what Harvey Karp has said. So thank you for sharing that. I can't turn back time, but maybe one day with the grandkids, I'll be hyper present.
I think you will.
Thank you. Okay, last thoughts here. Now that you've been through it, have you learned anything from the experience, pregnancy, birth, postpartum, that you really couldn't have without going through it before you went through it?
I think I've learned just so many things. One being how incredibly amazing the human body is, both in watching myself balloon up to this wild size and feel kicks inside me, to watching every day my son's brain just grow and his field of vision grow and his sense of hearing grow and his recognition of people grow. What an amazing experiment we all are. And then I think the other one is that gift of presence. And every morning I wake up and I say, this is the year of presence. I am an A+ student of today. I'm really modeling presence in every moment I'm in. And I think I've always been a multitasker, trying to do everything at once and tap dance while I drink milk, while I write a thesis, who knows? And there's actually way more importance that I think the world needs in being present in what you're doing. And I think we'll all actually be more fulfilled and more efficient.
Powerful, very powerful words. A great message for all of us. Thank you.
Sure.
Well, Rachel, thank you for joining us on the podcast. Congratulations on your amazing experience and your new chapter in life. I don't know. I feel like we'll check back in with you at some point and see what's going on. But like I said, you've really inspired me. And by now, I'm sure you've inspired our audience as well. Thank you.
Thank you. This is a pleasure.
At home, thanks for listening to the Informed Pregnancy Podcast. For more pregnancy and parenting information, visit informedpregnancy.com. Give me the news, I got a hope.